All right, joining us now is former Ravens coach and currently an analyst for Fox Sports. Did a lot of the Bucs games last year, and he's gracious enough to join us now and talk a little bit about the NFL draft, and that's Coach Brian Billick. Coach, first off, thanks for joining us. And, you know, now as an analyst and formerly as a coach, I'm sure this is a very busy time of year, right?
It's exciting. Anytime you're going to bring new blood into the league, it's a reinvention of every team. It's where you start, really. The season begins here. And it's kind of fun to be focusing on this, given all the acrimony and everything going around the collective bargaining agreement. Are we going to have a season? It's nice to focus just on the football part of it.
Well, I know you too on foxsports.com wrote a whole article about the lockout and how it could really affect things. Let's talk about that first, as they have gotten back to mediation, but with the lockout in place, you know, not just affecting the current coaches out there, but you know, what about these new coaches that are stepping into jobs that are trying to implement their own system?
Yeah, a lot of subtlety about what the existing lockout's going to do. Certainly if you're a new staff, a new coaching staff, a new head coach, or even if you're an existing staff and have a new coordinator, this hits you, because this is a time when you begin to have those little bit of interactions with your players. You set that groundwork for getting into the OTAs that sets you up for going into training camp. One of the interesting byproducts will be, if indeed, and I likely think it will not get done, obviously, before the draft, is that once the draft is done, of course, you can't sign your players, and therefore you can't be around them, nor can you sign the undrafted free agents, which every team has to go out and do to fill out their roster so that they go into training camp with their 80-man complement so they can get done the things they need to get done. So it just, right now, the league feels as it always does, because you're focused on the draft, but the minute that draft is over, everybody's world is going to change a little bit from what standard operating procedure has been over the last few years.
You know, and we look at it too. Coach Brian Billick is joining us. We look at it too. It's the owners versus the players. But, you know, you mentioned the undrafted free agents. How unfair is it for guys that are going to go undrafted that, you know, we've seen so many? I mean, you look at the Texans and what they had with Arian Foster leading the league in rushing as an undrafted free agent. There's guys out there that could make an impact that it's unfair to them because they have so much uncertainty ahead for them.
It is, and there's going to be a mad rush for those guys once the agreement does get done, whether it's prior to training camp, during training camp, to get things done. And it's going to be a free-for-all. It's going to cost the clubs more. And you're right, it is unfair for those young guys. How do you judge your future going forward when you don't know, indeed, if the league's going to play, what the interest will be, how much of a training camp there will be? There'll be, if we have a reduced training camp, obviously, the numbers you're going to have to work with are going to be severely diminished. There's going to be a number of players who might normally have found their way into a training camp to at least give yourself a chance that aren't even going to have that opportunity.
Coach Brian Billick is joining us from FoxSports.com. Fox Sports did a lot of the Bucs games last year. We're going to get into the Bucs in a little bit. You can also follow him on Twitter, at Coach Billick. And I know following you on Twitter, you seem to think, and I read one of your tweets, that if the Carolina Panthers do take Cam Newton, it would be a mistake. Why is that?
Well, you know, I don't wish Cam Newton ill. It's just a matter of when you look at what Cam Newton represents, and he was a phenomenally gifted athlete at the collegiate level, unbelievable success, all but in 1 year. The question I would ask is, who in the history of this game who's won a championship looks like Cam Newton? Who do you equate his game to? This type of athlete, those abilities have not so far really translated into the NFL. Doesn't mean he can't be the first. But for the Carolina Panthers, it's not a matter of whether Cam Newton should be the first pick, the fifth pick, the tenth pick, the 15th pick. If you think a quarterback is a franchise quarterback, doesn't matter where you're picking, don't worry about the value. If he is a franchise quarterback, you take him. And if obviously they take him at number one, they believe he will be that franchise quarterback. I have concerns about not only his abilities on the field to translate into the NFL, but the way he's approached the game off the field.
With having such a great offensive mind like yourself, I'm sure you've looked at all the quarterbacks coming out in this year's draft. How would you rate this class of quarterbacks? It seems like each one of these guys has a flaw in them. There's not that elite prospect that we've seen in other years.
Yeah, it is an uncomfortable draft for me with regards to the quarterbacks, and it doesn't mean that they won't do well. But we seem to be making excuses for all of them in terms of their game transitioning into the NFL, in terms of, well, they came out of the spread, so it's going to be a growth pattern. Well, he doesn't have the strongest arm, but, well, he's been a knucklehead off the field, but we think, you know, there just seems to be a lot of those. I'm uncomfortable with that amount of conversation about these young men. Doesn't mean they can't overcome the things that are preventing them from being maybe the number one pick overall. And certainly there's plenty of success stories of guys. You don't have to be a first-round draft choice to be successful in this league. I think we're going to see Blaine Gabbert and Cam Newton go very, very early in the first round. Then I think that next group will probably fall into the second round.
Now, with that being said, and with so many excuses being made for all the quarterbacks, I mean, especially the top ones in this draft, with the lockout, how hard is it going to be for a team that drafts a quarterback? They can't give them the playbook. They can't go through the mini camps. They can't go through the OTAs and get these quarterbacks used to their system before training camp. They're going to have to wait till then to see if this quarterback can step in. And really, I don't think we're going to see quarterbacks this year drafted step in and start right away.
Yeah, if this should linger in training camp for any indeterminate amount of time, I think you can pretty much wipe out this year of quarterbacks. Let's take an example of Jamarcus Russell, who held out contractually from the Oakland Raiders that first year, and it wasn't until after the beginning of the season that he signed. You can just throw away that first year. There's enough of a transition in and of itself going from college to pros. This group, as we talked about, particularly with so many coming out of the spread offense, it is going to be a transition for them, and to think that they could do that without a training camp, it's just not going to happen.
You can follow Coach Billick on Twitter at Coach Billick and also read his stuff at foxsports.com. When you were a coach with the Ravens and also with the Vikings, when you look at the combine and you look at the visits and you look at the pro days, for you, was it a combination of all, or what did you put more emphasis in?
Well, it's everything. You know, really, you have to go back. You hear it all the time. Go back to the film. Just don't fall with the guy and fall in love with the guy in shorts. You got to see what he does on the football field. And then we go to the combine, we come and work these athletes out, and we fall in love with guys and move them up the draft chart. But at the end of the day, what the combine should do, what your individual interview should do, is nothing more than validate one way or the other what you thought coming out of looking at the film. You're going to look at a young man and say, yep, he's just what I thought he would be, seeing him in person, watching him work out, based on the film, yep, he's everything I thought. Or, nope, he's everything I thought, this guy can't play. Where you have the difficulty is something happens in the interview or when you see him in person, you work him out, that makes you hesitate to say, ooh, boy, I need to go back and look at the film again because he looks either better or worse than I thought he would based on what I had the preconceived idea coming out of looking at the film. And there's nothing wrong with that. Anything that takes you back to the film to revalidate what it is you think about a player, that's exactly what those things are for.
Is there one player in mind that you could give us an example that while you were coaching, you did that and you said, man, this guy, maybe we need to go back and reevaluate this film, and he ended up being maybe a little better than you first thought?
Oh, yeah, there's any number of players. Reed is the first one that comes to mind. Is when you look at the film, you see what a dynamic player he is. But then we're also a league that says, well, you only value a safety so high. You don't take one in the first round. That was kind of the prevailing thought then, although I think that's changed a little bit. And you saw what kind of player he was. But then when you met him and you saw him move around and you saw the personality and the focus, then not that you had to go back and revalidate, but it was, oh, boy, there is something special about this guy. There's something extra about this guy that revalidated for us why he was worth the, I think it was the 24th, 25th, 26th pick of the draft.
Coach Billick, you can follow him on Twitter at Coach Billick. Coach, you did a lot of the Buccaneers games last year for Fox, and you know when you were watching these games last year, I don't think a lot of people had a lot planned for the Bucs in 2010. What was the most impressive part for you watching the Bucs last year?
Well, it was fun to watch the Buccaneers, and I didn't have a lot of expectations for them coming into the season. I've become a huge Raheem Morris fan. I just can't tell you how much I admire his approach, the way he deals with it. I had them really, my first game was their first big road win at Cincinnati, which obviously Cincinnati going 4-12 in hindsight, you can say, well, how important was that? But for this team, it was. This is a young team. That was a big road win. And then the games I had subsequent to that, it was like every 2 or 3 weeks I'd come back and do another one of their games. And you could just see the growth of this team, notwithstanding, obviously, Josh Freeman. You could see the confidence that was growing with them. And with every outing, they just got better and better, and particularly on the road. I remember having their game against Arizona. And again, not a great team, but their ability to play and play the way they did on the road, this was a team that got better and better and better. That's all you can ask in this league. And by the end of the year, particularly, I did their last game against New Orleans. And, you know, people dismiss that and say, okay, well, it wasn't going to affect the playoff picture. We didn't know that until well into the third quarter. And I remember very specifically Sean Payton and that New Orleans team said, look, we're playing this game straight up because we need to win this game. And then the profile changed a little bit once some other things happened. But Tampa Bay was a better football team on that day, particularly in the first half. And they're on the upswing.
You know, Raheem Morris, you mentioned Raheem Morris, also Mark Dominic. I think that both of those guys have just done a phenomenal job in their short time taking over for the Buccaneers. If you were a part of the Buccaneer organization, how would you handle the latest incident with Aqib Talib?
Those are always very difficult for an organization because your first instinct, obviously, is you know the young man, you have great faith in him, you want to give him the benefit of the doubt. And let's remember, the players do have the right to go through due process. It's real easy to rush to judgment, and I'm sure Raheem and Mark Dominic are being very prudent about it. But by the same token, you have to take these accusations seriously. You have to protect the organization. Walk that fine line, particularly right now, in that you're not allowed contact with the players. It's got to be very frustrating for them to be watching from the outside, not being allowed to have any contact with the young man as he deals with the difficulties he's dealing with right now.
Do you think the league will come down hard? I mean, this isn't the first incident for Aqib Talib. How hard do you think the league will come down on Aqib?
Well, there's some questions about, obviously, during a lockout, what right does the league have to sanction a player on transgressions that happened during the lockout? I'm sure that will be legally addressed and outlined. Mm-hmm. The league has made it very clear that whatever that outcome is, that they will look at it accumulatively, and that's exactly what the league does. So the league will, again, allow due process, allow the player to have his day in court, so to speak, but it's going to be factored in cumulatively with the way this young man's conducted himself.
Last question regarding the Buccaneers. The odds, I think the odds are pretty high that the Buccaneers draft or at least look to draft a defensive end with the 20th pick. If so, if you agree with that, what defensive end do you think best fits what the Bucs are trying to do on defense?
Well, you look at their particular needs. Last year, obviously, they jumped all over the interior of the defensive line, taking Gerald McCoy and Brian Price. They got a nice bonus pick in the second round with Aurelius Ben outside at wide receiver. And then Myron Lewis at cornerback out of Vanderbilt in the third round. An outside presence, rush in to go with McCoy and the expenditure of the resources with Price on the inside. Would be well spent. They also have to look maybe possibly in the secondary. Obviously, you don't know how long someone like Rondae Barber is going to continue to go. You don't know the situation of Aqib Talib. Is he going to be available to you? Again, frustrating for them. I know they'd love to have Barrett Roode back, but is he going to come back? What is the free agency? What's that going to look like? They seem to be pretty set offensively, so obviously the focus will go defensively. You could make a case for them going with an offensive lineman. But if they can just get that offensive line back and healthy, something that wasn't the case last year, they ought to be in pretty good shape. So defense is going to be where they focus.
Coach Billick, now with Fox Sports, you can follow him on Twitter, at Coach Billick. I know John Gruden recently said he's going to get back to coaching. Should we expect Coach Brian Billick back on the sideline soon?
Well, you know what? I'm enjoying what I'm doing. The league has kind of changed profiles a little bit. They're looking for young and cheap, and I'm neither one. So I'm looking forward to being back in the booth this
year.
Well,
I'll tell you what, you're doing a great job. I appreciate you taking some time out to talk some NFL draft with us, and we hope this lockout is gone soon and we get back to NFL football coming up this fall.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
All righty.
Coach Brian Billick from Fox Sports, and of course, you can, of course, follow him. I follow him. You should as well. Twitter.com/CoachBillick, at Coach Billick, if you're looking to follow somebody who knows a lot about the draft and also a lot about the NFL.